our church, well, for some time we've been occasionally preaching through the book of John on Sunday mornings, and so I got a couple messages I'm wanting to share with you from that. I've really enjoyed, really preaching through the book of John. I've learned so much, and so I want to share some thoughts with you this morning. And I've titled this several different things many times, because I don't exactly know what to title. It's kind of a long title, because that's kind of a long point. But really, to sum it up, I wanted to talk to you about the strength of knowing your identity in Christ. And we're going to actually look at this from looking at Christ and how that He emphasized who He was in relationship to the Father. That wasn't just to teach us about the Trinity. It wasn't just to teach us about the deity of Christ. But Christ drawed strength from who He was in relationship to the Father. That the Father was His Father, and that He was His Son. And we're going to see some passages, and hopefully be a blessing to you this morning. But open your Bibles to the book of John in chapter 5. Just saying what I've said already, it's kind of hard to even think about that, because we know that Jesus Christ is God, and we know He's deity. But while He walked upon this earth, He was God, but He was also man. He hungered, He thirsted, He got tired. And we find that on the cross of Calvary, we see mental anguish. We see in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see struggle. That's the flesh that He was in. And we face that as well, and He did. And I'm hoping that this will be a blessing to you this morning, because I tell you, who we come to finally realize who we are, when we come to see that, it defines what we do for the rest of our life. Jesus said Him and His Father was one, and then He said, "I do the works that My Father sent Me." See, when you find out who you are in Christ, and that truly gets a hold of you, it defines your work. It defines what you want to do with your life. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. John chapter 5, and we'll give you a little bit of a summary in just a moment about what takes place in the first part of this chapter, because we just can't read the whole thing. And then we'll jump down and we'll read verses 16 through 18. But before we do that, let's pray. Father, we ask for Your help this morning. And Lord, I pray that You would give me grace, Lord, to talk to these dear people. And Lord, I pray that You would help Your people this morning, that as we talk about this, that we would be strengthened as we receive assurance and confidence of who we are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And Father, I pray that we would leave here with a greater sense of purpose, a greater sense of meaning of our life and what You have called us to. Lord, I pray that in all temptations we face, that we would draw strength in who You are and who we are in You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As said, you'll understand the reason or the purpose of our title or what we're dealing with a little bit more and more as we go along this morning. I want to give you a brief account here a little bit in John chapter 5 and what takes place. A little bit of a summary here in the first part of the chapter, what happens. Jesus heals a man here that has had an infirmity for 38 years. Now, as He heals him, He tells him to take up his bed and walk. The man does so, and some Jews see him walking, carrying his bed. They are upset with Him because He's carrying his bed, and it is the Sabbath, and so they're upset about that. They asked Him who told him to take up his bed and walk, and He didn't even know it was Jesus until later when Jesus talks to him again and then he tells the Jews that it was Jesus. Now, we pick up now with our account in verses 16 and verse 18. The Jews are upset about this taking place. And let's start with verse 16. "And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay Him because He had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, 'My Father worketh hitherto, and I work.'" He said, "I'm doing the work of the Father. "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him, because He not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. Jesus is being attacked by the Jews for what they believe to be the breaking of the Sabbath. And they were not even taking into account whatsoever that Jesus had actually healed a man with a great infirmity of 38 years. They really missed it. They totally missed the great miracle that He did and didn't even care. Now Jesus later tells them in verse 36, He says this, He says, "But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me." They wanted much to find fault with Jesus, and instead of seeing the great miracle of healing that bore witness of who He was and that He was sent of the Father, they totally missed that whatsoever. And they were more concerned about what they thought to be the breaking of the Sabbath. Now when they confronted Jesus there in verse 16 about Him healing on the Sabbath, Jesus from the very beginning proclaims that the works He was doing were the works of the Father. And He talks about that several times throughout this discourse and this conversation with them. Now, what Jesus goes on to teach in response to them here has so many great thoughts, and that's the one thought we want to bear out in this passage and a few others. I want you to notice, first of all, the words of confidence. The words of confidence. Look at what Jesus says in verse 19 in response to them. I love Jesus answered and said to them. I mean, after they were upset, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do." You know what? You know how you're going to find out what God wants you to do? Is you keep your eyes on Him. Because that Jesus said, the Son can do nothing but what He seeth the Father do. Jesus says, I'm doing what my Father does. And you know what? What's your purpose in life? What does God want you to do? How are you going to find definition and meaning and what God your Father wants you to do? You keep your eyes on Him. What you see Him do and His Word, that's what you do. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, "For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." You want to do the works of God, you focus on God. You focus on the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. But I love the words of confidence here when Christ says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Now, when we read this, oftentimes we just think it to mean in regards that Christ is just giving a double emphasis of what He's about to say, or it's of extreme importance, and that is the case as well. But while that is true, it also reflects the confidence of what Christ is saying. "Truly, truly, I say unto you, assuredly, assuredly." Not just to give us assurance, but Jesus is saying, "Assuredly, I say unto you." He's saying, "I'm sure." Assuredly, assuredly. He's not just saying this to assure us, but He's saying this, "I'm sure, I'm sure." And sometimes we miss that. It has a double impact there. Now, so not only are we being told to listen to the subject of extreme importance, we're being told that Christ speaks with confidence. And we often miss the human side of Christ in His ministry here upon earth. As said, we miss that. He ate because He needed food. He slept because He needed sleep. He wept because He was sad. After facing the temptation of Satan, the angels came and ministered unto Him. Jesus lived in full reliance and strength of the Father. He lived in that. I think we miss that when we think about the ministry and the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We find Him rising up early to pray every morning. Was this just for our example? Was it just for our example that we would learn that we should get up and pray every morning? Or can we say Jesus wanted to pray? And say, "Well, yeah, He wanted to pray," but can we say Jesus needed to pray? I don't know. Can we say that? Jesus needed to pray. He was in the flesh. He needed to pray. He needed the strength of the Father. And we miss that. And when I realize that, when I come to grips where I can actually say that and think, "Well, that's the truth," it helps me. I need it. I need it. Now, here's some, and we're going to see several scriptures in regard to that. When Jesus responds there with, "Verily, verily," He's saying, "I know assuredly. I know assuredly that the works I do are the works of the Father." Now, can you say that about your life and about your work and what you're involved in? Can you say, "I know that what I'm doing is what God wants me to do"? I mean, that's a great, great thing to be able to say. To know that what you're saying isn't just words, but you're certain that this is what God wants you to do. You can be certain. You can be absolutely certain that you are doing what God wants you to do. Jesus Christ knew, and I think we can know. But Jesus Christ found His certainty, His strength, His identity, the work the Father would have Him to do, by knowing who He was in relationship to the Father. And that's what we want to see unfold here. And in verse 20, notice what He says, "For the Father," I love this, "for the Father loveth the Son." This wasn't just a declaration to teach these Pharisees of the relationship between the Father and the Son, that they were one. It's more than that. The Son knew the love of the Father. There is love there between them. "The Father loveth the Son and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth." Let me tell you what, when you live in that love and reality that God has for you, He shows you what to do. And that's what Jesus said. "The Father loveth the Son and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth. And He will show Him greater works than these, that you may marvel." He said, "You think this is something, you just wait." Now, so let us not miss this morning the love between the Father and the Son. Jesus lived in the love that the Father had for Him. And you know what? Jesus wants us to live in that love too. I'm not talking about doing things to make God love you. No. Listen, we are encouraged to live in the love of God. Jesus Christ said, "What? Abide what? In My love." He's not saying, "Do something so I'll love you." He's telling us to live in the abiding love of Christ and who we are in relationship to Him. Draw near to Him and live in His loving fellowship and in the love that He has for you. Christ spoke much about His union and relationship to the Father, didn't He? But why? Was it just so that we would have some Scriptures to teach us about the Trinity? Is it just to teach us about the deity of Christ? Was it just to teach us about them being one? Now, those things are taught in that. But is it just a teaching to teach us something about who God is? Or is there actually a relationship between the Father and the Son? And does the Son, if you would, find His identity in the Father? You see, it's much deeper than just a doctrinal proclamation of the deity of God. There's a deep relationship between the Father and the Son. He was in the Father, and the Father was in Him. Now, very often when Jesus was attacked, this is a great study when you read through the Word of God. When Jesus was attacked, you know what He would begin to start off with all of a sudden? Anytime He got attacked, you know, not anytime, not every time, but most of the times when He got attacked for what He was doing, you know what He immediately respond with? "I'm here to do the works of the Father. I'm the Father, our one." Now, does that mean anything? It meant something to Him. I'm saying it meant something to Jesus. He wasn't just teaching. It meant something to Him. As the God-man, the Son lived in full confidence of who He was in the Father, and it was His defense against those who would attack Him. What is our strength? What is our strength and reliance when religious people or people of the world may attack the works we are doing? What when no matter what we may do, people may find fault with, just as they did with Jesus? What about when we allow our own selves to mishandle the Word of God in the flesh, if you would, and we can beat ourselves up? I mean, they were trying to beat Jesus up with what they thought the law of God was. They were misinterpreting much of it, but they were trying to beat Him up with it. And you know what? We can do that ourselves that way, can't we? We Well, we can just beat ourselves up with that, with things that aren't even true. But where's our confidence at? It's who we are in Christ. That we are in Christ and Christ is in the Father. That we are united to the Father because we are united to the Son. The Son knew the Father loved Him. The Son loved Him. He knew that the Father loved Him. And our confidence and our defense is that we know that God loves us. If we can know that and live in that certainty, we can conquer the world. And when we know who we are in Christ, and Christ is in us, and that God is my Father, and that I am His Son, it gives my life purpose. It gives my life meaning. It gives my life direction. It tells me what works I should do. And it gives me power and confidence to do them. And when we live in assurance of who we are in Christ and all of that, then when the world attacks us, when religion attacks us, we can know with certainty and say, truly, truly, I'm doing the works of the Father. The Father loves me. It's more than just a declaration from Jesus. It's who He was. Look in John 17, if you would. I'm not going to read the whole part that I want to read, but John 17 and verse 20, here is what's commonly referred to as Christ's high priestly prayer. This is what Jesus is praying for us as His children. I love to think about Jesus praying for me. I read something, I think it was last week, talking about if I could hear Jesus praying in the next room for me, I could conquer millions of angels, or millions of armies, it said. But then it said, the distance makes no difference. He is. Jesus, and so there's times when I don't know what to pray, don't know how to pray, and I just say, Lord Jesus, pray for me to the Father. But I don't even know what to say. And I can just be quiet and know that Jesus is praying for me. That does something for my soul, my spirit. Now, Jesus prayed for us right here. So what kind of things is Jesus praying for me? Let me tell you what He's praying for you. He's praying that you will know His love, dear child of God. John 7, what do you want your kids to know more than anything? That you love them. I want my children to know that I love them, not for anything that they do, have done, or shall do, but I love them simply because they are my child. And that's it. I remember I went through a phase where I really expressed that to my kids. I watched them emotionally change. Whenever I would say to them over and over again at different times, do you know why your daddy loves you? And they would say, just because I'm your child. I'd say, that's right. That's the only reason. That's because you're my child. That's it. And sometimes I'd tell them that after they messed up. After they sinned and I had to correct them. I'd say, you know why I love you? Just because I'm your child. That's right. Not because you've done everything right or you've done bad. It doesn't change my love. We know about that unconditional love, right? We know it in doctrine and we know it in theory, but but to live in a reality that God loves us simply because we belong to Him. I am His. There's power. There's strength. There's courage. There's confidence. There's purpose. There's direction in that. And we see that. Look in John 17. Jesus is praying here. He said, "Neither," verse 20, "neither pray I for these alone," so not just these disciples, "but for them also which believe on me through their word, that they all may be one." Listen, "if they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me, and what? And I in Thee, that they also may be one in us." Jesus is saying, I want them to know You, Father, like I know You, Father. I want You to be in them like You are in me. "That the world may believe that Thou hast sent me, and the glory which Thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them," and listen, "and Thou in me, Jesus says that I in them, me, Jesus in them and His people, and Father and Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent me, listen, and hast loved them as Thou hast loved me. Jesus wants you, dear child of God, to know that the Father loves you like the Father loves the Son. That's what Jesus is praying for me at the right hand of the Father. Now, whether He's saying it over and over, I don't know. If He just said it this once, I'm certain. But anything at all, we can say that Jesus has prayed or possibly is praying right now to the Father. That you, dear child of God, would know that the Father loves you like the Father loves Him. He's there at the right hand and praying, Father, oh, that they would know how much You love them, that You love them like You love me. Oh, I want them to know, Father, the love that You have for me, that they would know what that's like. Jesus prayed earlier in this John 17. He prayed, go back and look, and He prayed a lot about the persecution His people are going to face. You read the verses just before, He talks about that. And there's an application of that, because what we're saying, He talks there in verse 14, He's like, giving them Thy word and what the world has hated them. He says, I pray not, verse 15, that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that it should keep them from the evil in the world. So Jesus prayed about His people being in the world. Then what does He pray about? He talks about, Father, that they would know Your love. It's our defense. What is one thing we most assuredly need in order to face all the world throws at us? I just need to know I'm God's child. I can face 1,000 armies, but I just know I'm God's child. I'm just certain that who I am in Christ, and Christ is in me, and God loves me. I can handle it. I just got to live in that reality and know that, right? Now, when we face any troubles in this world that rock us to our core, what we run to first is assurance of who we are in Christ. And once we are certain of that, and the Lord reassures us of His love and His care for us as His children, we say, I can do this through the strength of God, because I know that He's my God and I'm His child. I need to know that I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. Now look in John chapter 5. I want to turn back there and read some things here. John 5, and look at what Christ says in this conversation we looked at earlier. Verse 24, He says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. But the second thought I want us to think about as we're reading these verses is the voice of the Father. Now I want to see how this, the life of Christ, and I want you to see this tonight, or this morning, because I think that you'll really enjoy this. Verse 25, He says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. And hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice, and shall come forth that they have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now there are many things we can look at from there, even on down. He's continually talking about His relationship with the Father in the next several verses there. And you can go back sometime and look at that. But Jesus refers here in verse 28 and verse 29. He talks about the power of the voice of God. Now, while these verses teach us about the resurrection there in verse 29, I want you to think about the power of God's voice as Jesus records it here. And in Psalms 29, I want to read a couple verses for you here. But here it talks about the power of God's voice, and the whole chapter is all about that. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The glory of God thundereth. Verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. Verse 5, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars, and the voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. Verse 7, the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. And verse 9, the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve. And in the very last verse, verse 11, the Lord will give strength unto His people. Why all this about the voice of the Lord and then say the Lord will give strength to His people? Because that's where they're going to get strength, from the voice of God. Listen, you're not, dear child of God, going to receive the strength you need if you're not in the Word of God. Forget it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You can't be wishing upon a star. You can't just be hoping that today you're going to have the strength. If you're not opening up the Word of God, this is the voice of the Lord. And it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's strength unto us. The Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Why say all that in chapter 29 about the voice of the Lord and then say the Lord will give His people strength? That's what I'm talking about. The strength of knowing who we are in Christ, but that comes to us through words of assurance from the Word of God. And so we've got to be in the book. The Lord will give strength to His people. I like that. You know, Brother Doug, you know, read a little bit there this morning in the creation in Genesis 1. And you know, it says the voice of the Lord was upon the waters there in verse 3 of chapter 29 of Psalms. And it said the glory of God thundered. God created everything how? And God said, God spoke. The voice of the Lord. It was the Word of God that created this earth, everything that we see. And the same power that created everything you see, right here we have the Word of God. God uses that to speak unto us and to create life within us and to give us strength as His people. We have been created and brought to life by the power of the Word of God. Being born again, how? Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the living Word of God. The Word of God has breathed within us life. You're not going to receive the strength you need through the things and devices of this world. You've got to be faithful to get in the Word of God, because that's how He's going to talk to you. Now, I want to think about this in regard to Christ. As I see Christ's reference here in John chapter 5 to the voice of God, it reminds me of the voice of the Father. Remember when Jesus was here upon this earth? The Father spoke. Now, I want to look at that in Matthew chapter 3 and see the significance of this. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus is here getting ready to be baptized. In Matthew 3, now as He's baptized here, right before He's baptized here, or after He's baptized, I should say, after He's baptized here in Matthew 3, Christ is baptized. And then after He's baptized, in verse 17, notice what the Word of God says. And lo, a voice from heaven. A voice from heaven saying this. What does the voice from heaven say? This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, that was just for all the people around, right? It was just so that we would know, right? Or was it for Jesus, too? For Jesus didn't know who He was? Is that what you're saying? No, I'm not saying that. But did Jesus need to hear it? Or did Jesus rejoice to hear it? Let me say that at least. What I find interesting is this. As this voice from the Father speaks from heaven. Chapter 3. Well, immediately, chapter 4, what happens? Jesus goes off in the wilderness. And what's the first thing Satan tempts Him to say? And the tempter, in chapter 4, verse 3, and when the tempter came to Him, He said, what? If thou be the Son of God. Questioning from the very beginning of who He was. Now, I can't explain all this workings of deity and the Father and the Son and explain that to us. Who am I, right? I don't understand all of that. But I see this. As soon as the Father speaks from heaven and says, this is My beloved Son, the very first thing that Jesus Christ faced in temptation is a questioning of who He is. Let me tell you what, the tempter will always question us who we are. If thou be the Son of God. Well, if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, if you truly are who you say you are, if you truly are who the Word of God says you are, if, right? We're always faced with that. Even as a child of God, we're constantly going to have that enemy to come at us and to question us, to doubt and fear who we are in Christ and who we are to Him. That are we truly a child of God? Jesus, the Word of God says in Hebrews 4 that you know what? As our faithful high priest, He was tempted in all points as we are. What was the tempter tempting Him? It said the tempter came. What was He tempting? If he was tempting Him to doubt who He was. Not just to prove who He was. Not just to prove who He was, but to doubt who He was. Now, of course, we know it didn't work. But do you think that the tempter still comes at us like that? Well, how do you know who you are? How do you know who you are? The voice of the Father. The Word of God. What does the Word of God say to you? What does the Word of God speak to you? What does the Word of God say when you open it up? Does it say, "You are my child"? You know, I've faced a lot of doubts in my own ministry. And many times, and fears, and your struggle with who you are. Is this your calling? Am I even saved? I mean, you struggle with these things. And you just, I've got to get in the Word. Get in the Word. You open up the Word of God. And the Word of God, this breathed Spirit book, bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Let me tell you what, nothing can take that away from you. The tempter can try, but he can't take that. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ answered with, wasn't it? It is written. It is written. The Father had just spoken, and it is written. Man shall live by bread alone, but by what? Every word of God that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What was the last word that we see that was just recorded out of the mouth of the Father? This is my Son. You know, I tell you, you'll go through your own struggles, your own trials, and you know, I just need that assurance sometimes. I'm a child of God. Glory be to Him. That's just who I am. And there's power in that. There's strength in that. If God, I think about this in regard to Jesus Christ and the Father speaking from heaven who He was. And you know, the Father speaking out loud from heaven didn't convince Him of who He was. I don't have to convince everybody who I am. It's not going to change who I am. I am who I am because that's who God's made me. That's who I am in Christ. Now lastly here, I don't mean a little longer this morning, but the power of knowing who you are in Christ. Now, as we see there in Matthew 4, in verse 3 and 4, the response of Christ was in verse 4 because it was written. And we see this, what Christ spoke had spoken unto Him, that He was His Son. Jesus is saying here, when you read what He responds in verse 4, my greatest need is not bread to feed my body. My greatest need is to hear from my Father. My greatest need is the Word. When Jesus says it is written, this isn't just something that is given to us so we will know how to resist temptation. That's how He resists temptation as the God-man. If He needed it, we need it. So I hope you understand what we're teaching this morning and declaring. When you face the false charges of religionists, when people seem to find fault with everything you do, when Satan tempts you in all manner and seeks to place doubt in who you are, this is your power. This is your strength that you run to time and time again, the Word of God, to give you assurance that you indeed are a child of the King, that you are in Christ, you are loved of the Father, and Christ wants you this morning, dear child of God, to live in the power of that love and an assurance of that love. I want my kids to always know that I love them no matter what. That's the message we continually relay to our children. We just want them to know we love them. Even when we know they're not doing right, we still want them to know we love them. Why? So that even though they may be doing wrong, that maybe they'll come back. But we know that we have to assure them of that love so they know they can come back. God's always telling us He loves us. And I'm afraid sometimes we don't think about that enough. One more passage here in John 5. I want to look at something and we'll close with this. I'll try to be brief. Verse 38 and verse 39, Jesus says this. John 5:38, "And we have not His Word, and you have not His Word abide in you, for whom He hath sent, Him you believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me." The Scriptures bore testimony that Christ was sent from the Father. They thought they knew the Word, but did not, because they missed Jesus in them of whom they spoke. When we are hearing what this Word has to say, where will ultimately lead us? It will lead us to Jesus Christ. And that's why He told them the very next verse, "And you will not come to Me that you might have life." When you are in the Scriptures, and you are truly hearing what the Scriptures have to say, it always leads you to Christ. Always. Do you need to find out this morning who you are, who Christ is, and who you are in Him? Then you must go to the Word of God. You don't need words of assurance from me. You don't need words of assurance from the preacher. You don't need words of assurance from your parents. You need the Word of God to declare who Jesus Christ is and who you are in relationship to Him. There's no other relationship more important this morning than this. You need to know, indeed, are you a child of God? And I assure you, you open up the Word of God, and if you are, God will give you that assurance. That's where the assurance lies. It's not an experience. It's not anything your past. Listen, the assurance comes from right here from the good book. What does God's Word say to you this morning? Are you a child of God? And if you are, let the Lord remind you continually through your Word, through the Word, and knowing who you are, as stated already, will reveal your purpose, your work in life. Your identity in Christ reveals who you are, who God is, and He will reveal to you what your work is on this earth when you're certain you are a child of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask for Your help. Lord, I pray that You just make all the words to come together that we've spoken and give assurance to Your people, and Lord, that they would live in a confidence in who they are in Christ and Your love for them. Lord, help us to know how much You love us. And Lord, we can rebuke ourselves for not seeing how much You love us sometimes. But Lord, I know that You would want us to live in reality of how much You love us. And so forgive us for when we can't see it. But Lord, help us to have eyes this morning to see the love of God. To see, Father, the love You have for the Son is the love You have for us. We are Your child. And help us to live in that glorious, glorious reality. And there will we find meaning and purpose and direction for our life. And those this morning that the Word of God is clear to them and it does not give confidence that they are a child, oh God, may You open their eyes and command the light to shine and reveal Christ to them and draw them to Yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Brother Wayne.